Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. Sky's economics editor Ed Conway was standing in for Sophie Ridge this week and he began by interviewing the former Deputy Prime Minister Michael Heseltine. Heseltine has co-authored a column in today's Sunday Times arguing that a no-deal Brexit would be an act of national self-harm. Conway challenged Heseltine's claim that there was no mandate for no deal.
Lord Heseltine, one of the things that Parliament has done is to vote for Article 50. And one of the upshots of Article 50, I mean, it's maybe there in the small print, but nonetheless, it is very much there, is that if there is no deal, then the UK would leave at the end of the deadline. So Parliament has actually voted for a process that leads to no deal, haven't they?
No. When we did the referendum, it was clearly stated by the Leave campaign that they were not going for a no deal. In March of this year, Michael Gove clearly said that they did not want a no deal. There is no majority for no deal.
But is there in Article 50, though? Part of Article 50 says there will be a no deal if there is no deal. You know, if there is a deadline and if nothing is reached by that, there is no deal. That is part of the process of leaving.
Well, that is not what Parliament voted for, and it's quite clear that Parliament will not vote for that. There is no majority in Parliament and no majority in the country for no deal. That the union of the United Kingdom itself is at risk, as polls are now showing in Scotland. But the economy is stalled, inflation is rising, and the pound is in serious difficulties and threatened to get worse. Investment is on hold. There is an atmosphere of total indecision and ineffectiveness at the heart of government because, let's be frank, there is no parliamentary majority for what this government is threatening to do. And because this government is completely obsessed with the preposterous idea we should leave Europe without a deal, the whole of the agenda for running this country, for modernising this country, is on hold.
Heseltine also attacked the Prime Minister's new special adviser, Dominic Cummings, who came to national attention as the director of the official Leave campaign.
You talk about, in your op-ed, about Dominic Cummings, the adviser to the Prime Minister, being a revolutionary menace. What do you mean by that? I mean, there have always been special advisers.
Well, I think we took the words from himself. I think he sees himself as a revolutionary. But let's be frank, much more important. The point about having a Prime Minister and a Cabinet is that they're accountable to Parliament. We've got this guy who is now in direct contact with the British media, briefing them on policies, scathingly attacking members of the House of Commons who should be held in respect, and actually parading himself as the mastermind behind the government. That is an intolerable position for democracy. It is absolutely central that Parliament should be able to call to account people who represent them as ministers. And at the moment, we are now being told by a particular figure who's proud of it, that he's more or less sort of running the show.
The policing minister, Kit Malthouse, responded to what Heseltine had to say.
Obviously, there's a lot of hyperbole being thrown about as we approach the date of the 31st of October. But in the end, even people like Lord Heseltine, great figures from the past, who have never quite reconciled themselves to the idea that we're going to leave the European Union, are going to have to focus on the fact that that's what the British people commanded us to do, and that's what the government is committing to do at the end of October.
Do you think we're ready, October 31st?
I think we will be ready, yes. I mean, obviously, there's a huge amount of work to be done between now and then. You know, the Cabinet Committee is meeting on a daily basis. You know, Michael Gove is leading the charge. He's been in Northern Ireland recently, talking to them about preparations there. The Prime Minister has made it very clear that the Treasury has to put money forward to help with those preparations and also to be ready to ameliorate any impact there may be if we do leave with no deal. Alongside that, obviously, profoundly, the government is trying to get a deal, and we want the Europeans to recognise that a deal is in both of our interests, that they need to start talking to us about what that might look like.
Malthouse also told Conway that the government's plans to recruit 20,000 new police officers were still in their early stages.
How much is that going to cost?
So the first year we've scoped out looks about 500 million. We reckon about 1.1 billion over the whole period. But what the Prime Minister has said quite clearly is that 20,000 is the number we need to focus on. Now, I'm in conversation with the wider policing family about the practicalities and logistics of delivering those 20,000 over the next 36 months. And whatever costs fall out of that, obviously, we'll have to have discussions with the Treasury.
So it could be even more than 1.1 billion.
Well, let's see where we get to, because there's lots of other aspects to be looked at. I mean, one of the pleasing things that the Prime Minister is kicking off this weekend as well is for us to realise that this is a system that we're dealing with. It's not just about policing, that we also have to look at the criminal justice system, the prison system, offender management, the courts, the Crown Prosecution Service, that all of this fits together as a system for managing crime and hopefully pushing it downwards as far as we possibly can. And so he's making some announcements today about, more funding going into the prison system, that we'll have more prison places to provide for more violent offenders to spend more time inside. Then tomorrow he's holding a round table on violence specifically with, members of the criminal justice system coming together with the policing community to talk about what we can do to drive violence down in the country.
And finally, Labour's Shadow Transport Secretary, Rachel Maskell, went even further than Lord Heseltine in her condemnation of a no-deal Brexit and outlined where her party stood.
Jeremy Corbyn has been calling for an election quite vocally recently to settle all of this Brexit uncertainty. Are you ready?
Well, absolutely. We know now that this treacherous act that the Prime Minister is about to commit by taking us out of the European Union with no deal. We must remember that Mr Johnson was elected by just 90,000 people and is using that, not even a mandate, to really destroy our economy. And we're seeing already the impact of that with jobs tumbling and the threat of clearly worse to come. So we believe that we've got the programme for government. In fact, people have told us that we're the most prepared opposition for government that there has ever been.
One explanation some people have for why the polling is looking especially good right now, especially strong for Labour, is that no one quite understands what your Brexit position is. So, if you will, could you just explain it in one sentence, if you will? What is Labour's Brexit position?
Well, it's very simple. Because we understand the devastation that no deal will bring to our country. And when Parliament has voted against no deal, we absolutely will not recklessly take our country out of the European Union. But more than that, we want the country to determine its future. We believe that this question now needs to go back to the country so that the people can decide. And we've said that in a referendum we'll be campaigning to remain in the European Union, but not just remain, to reform, because Labour is about reforming, whether locally, nationally, across Europe or internationally. We're a party that wants to see real reform and change so that the institutions work for people in our country, we can repair the public services and make sure we're making the investments for future jobs and the future prosperity of our country.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store, and we also have a special offer. You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for just £12, and you'll receive a free Amazon voucher worth £20. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.